everybody. Welcome to the ReZero podcast. We are back. Oh my god. It's amazing. We're finally on Arc 5 after covering Arc 4 for 3 years. How is this even possible? We don't even play guitar at the beginning of these podcasts anymore. This is evolution at its finest. Welcome, co-host. Who are you?
I am the one, the only, the ultimate tsundere.
Well, that's your nickname, but what's the actual...
Oh, shit, yeah, wrong one, whoops. Hi, I'm Wolfclaw. It is I.
The ultimate tsundere. You see, oh, god damn it, you're fired. So yes, this is the ReZero podcast, and we have a thing that we want to start. It's a meme, it's a joke, but it's real. So, last podcast, we got 67 likes, which is amazing, and I want to thank everyone for that, because it really helps us in the algorithm. So I was talking to Wolf, my Garfield replacement here, Wolf, and I said, if we get double the likes, we'll cover double the chapters. So what that means, if this video gets 120 likes, we will cover 10 chapters in the next podcast. Now, this is a very hard thing to reach, because it ain't easy covering 10 chapters in one podcast. It's hard enough doing 5.
Yeah.
So I felt that was fair enough. So if you guys can get out there, spread the word about the podcast, tell a friend, like the video, and maybe, just maybe, we'll get to that mythical 120 likes for this video, and we'll cover 10 chapters for next week. I think that's fair. I think it's completely fair. So with that out of the way, let's get into the first chapter of Arc 5. This is so exciting. I'm so excited to finally get into this.
It's been 3 years. My God.
Yeah, 3 years. Couple weeks for you, damn.
Yeah, I know. I already feel old. What is this?
ReZero.
My boy.
By the way, I didn't read you recommended me to read this like halfway point, like Arc 4.5. Didn't read that. I'll do that next week.
We'll talk about it's not that. Awfully important, but it does give some context that's useful.
Yeah, I really want to read it though, based off what
it is,
I was able
it is
to
a fun
see.
Read. I do recommend it.
We'll do a separate podcast on that if possible. I don't know. Maybe on Patreon only, or uploaded to Twitter exclusively, or Instagram TV. Who knows? ReZero Arc. ReZero. I have exclusive videos on Instagram TV. I do. They're amazing. Okay. You can go check them out. If you want to,
IG.tv/ctactics
or whatever the hell it is. Anyways, ReZero Arc 5, Chapter 1. It always starts with a visitor.
Ooh.
Okay, I read this chapter at 3 in the morning.
Oh.
And when I finished it, I was like, damn it, I have to go to bed.
Yeah.
I love this chapter.
It's so good.
Yeah, it perfectly shows how our characters have developed ever since the end of Arc 4.
This is an issue I have with a lot of storytelling when they time skip, especially for a long period of time, where they've made like relationships in the story, but we don't get to see it whatsoever, so it doesn't feel like, you know, truthful or like it's deserved.
Mm-hmm.
But even while time skipping here, it manages to set up these relationships perfectly in these next couple chapters.
Yep. The thing that pops out to me most, and of course what I think is supposed to pop out to the reader the most immediately, is Biko and Subaru's relationship. But as well, Subaru's training, I think, is really the big one. But
yeah,
in terms of
pretty
character dynamic, the biggest thing is Biko and Subaru, which
it's so fucking wholesome. It is the most adorable shit I have ever seen in my fucking life. You thought Petra and Subaru were wholesome? Where do you see fucking this?
If you told me in season one that Biko would essentially be a contracted spirit to Subaru, I'd roll my fucking eyes. I'd be like, god damn it.
That can't work. That's not gonna work.
That's stupid. Why would that's so like cringy and like
out
you
of
know,
character
pandering.
Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's just they're doing that for a demographic. No, this is great. Like, and their relationship is amazing.
And it's to this level where they almost feel like siblings.
Yeah.
Right? Like they feel like family. It's so fucking wholesome.
I think that's why it works, is because it's not coming from the perspective of, you know, you know, like he's perving on her.
The lolly.
Yeah, they're not sexualizing. There's no anything like that. It's basically just, it's very, you know, family. It's like a family type of interaction. And
this seems to be like a theme throughout these chapters of like the Emilia camp is almost like a family, right? Like, and because it's mentioned multiple times with stuff like Petra and Garth and Otto and all that, that they're just all very close-knit and tight. And it's a great contrast to see compared to the Greediff that we did last time.
Yes. Yes, we covered Greediff last week on the podcast, and it was the complete opposite of this.
Yes. And it just made this all the more sweeter in my heart.
Yeah, these first five chapters, there was a significant absence of despair. And it felt like it was earned.
Oh, it is earned, right? They have earned this moment.
Yeah, yeah. They're just this. They feel like they're happy, and that makes me happy.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's so rare that when you see, it's the most valuable thing, right? When you get to see it, just to be happy.
Yep, yep. And we learned a lot of things about Biko and her contract. Well, I think we learned a lot of it from the last arc, but
we get a little extra context.
Yeah. So basically, Biko and Subaru have to remain in contact once a day, make physical contact, and Biko basically drains Subaru's gate, or well, mana, but his gate is totally shattered and broken. He'll probably never be able to use it again. But I love the way they describe how much this is needed.
Because he will otherwise explode like an overinflated frog.
Yes. That was amazing.
That is there are so many good lines in these chapters and so many quotes that just made me happy.
One of my favorite one is Burst of Subaru-isms.
Yes. And the fact that she can talk Subaru-anese.
Yeah. That's the thing. These chapters are actually really funny, too.
Yeah, it makes me realize how funny ReZero can be at sometimes. Like, its comedy is on point.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. And the thing is I think it's even better in the web novel. And I think that maybe is because you're not experiencing it as a visual thing. You're reading it, so you're thinking about it. But yeah, I find myself chuckling at just all of this stuff in chapter one. Just chapter one alone. It was just so funny.
I mean, like the end of arc four, right? With the whole Emilia pregnancy thing. That had me on my fucking ass for like an hour. Yeah. That was... it's so good.
Oh my god. And we have a continuation of that joke. I think a wrap-up of that
joke. Oh yeah, yeah.
In chapter two or three. We'll get to that in a second. But Subaru is also training now. And it's revealed that he is Subaru's knight later on, which is why he's Subaru's knight. He's his own knight, guys.
He's his own man.
He's Emilia's knight now, and he's training, which was it was this obstacle course built by Garfield, and later on we learned Kleind. And he is just having a lot of trouble doing it, and it shows that he's been doing it for a while, but he's still, you know, getting used to this training and stuff. And I think that's awesome. So not only do we get like this time skip that is pretty cool, in my opinion.
Feels like stuff has actually happened in between.
Yeah.
Like the time.
Yeah. Subaru has now I think we're getting to a point where Subaru is going to be physically capable way more than he ever has before.
Yeah, and I love how it's described in this moment where he's doing all of these things because he isn't superhuman. He needs to learn how to do these things to be able to keep up.
He's self-aware. Yes.
How aware of his weakness and how much he wants to be stronger. It's so endearing, right? Yep. Like it's the ultimate underdog tale.
It
makes you really root for him.
Yeah. It's character development, and it's great stuff.
We also see that even though he's developed, there are still parts of himself that haven't changed with some of his negatives. He's still too hard on himself. He keeps on, like, complaining about the fact that he's still weak and that he just sometimes doesn't feel like he sees results. And it's a great way... I feel like there's actual progression with his character, right?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't just change because he's told his problems. It's a significant process. It's true to life, you know? You don't just fix yourself when you know you have problems. It takes a long time.
Right, one step at a time, right? And I think it feels like with the trajectory we're on, by the end of this arc, or maybe sometime in arc 6, I think Subaru, he's probably going to realize how far he's come. And that...
maybe get a bit of self-esteem.
Yeah, he's going to have some self-esteem. And it's all going to work out for him. We also are reintroduced to Petra, who is a little bit older now, about the size of the height up to Subaru's chest, which is actually a considerable amount bigger. She grew quite a bit in a year.
Yeah, she seems to be taking after Frederica in more than just mannerisms.
Yeah, now we got to call her Big Petra.
Big. Oh, speaking of Frederica's height, there is one thing we need to talk about later on. Regarding that.
Oh, yes, yes. But yeah, Petra's a little bit older. She informs Subaru that they got some guests, which, oh my god, I love the guests. I immediately knew, by the way, who the guests were.
Yeah, you could just feel it in the force. Yeah. You're just like, oh, I wonder who it's... oh, it's Mimi!
yep, Mimi is great.
She's the bullying with Biko, and it's so...
oh my god.
Awesome.
Oh my god. We also, they go all hand in hand, Subaru, Beatrice, and Petra, they all go back to this new mansion. And by the way, there's like new scenery around them. I think it's more mountainous.
Yep. And yes, it's more hilly from what I remember. And there's a actual town nearby instead of a village populated with demi-humans.
Right, which fits in with Roswell's character of how...
of the kind of guy who shelters demi-humans. Yeah,
yeah. So it makes complete sense. But we learn in this, because when Petra is describing Mimi, we learn that basically Puck is still gone. Though,
yep.
Later on, we learn that the reason Puck is still gone is because of the crystal, the jewel that Amelia carries is not strong enough, and she needs a new one. So, yeah. So, seemingly, maybe Puck wasn't a terrible father all along.
It's difficult with Puck, isn't it? Because there are so many moments that make you love him and so many moments you think, oh, for fuck's sake, really?
Yeah, yeah.
It perfectly sums up Subaru's like attitude towards Puck that's like hinted at through all these chapters of just, I want to talk to you so badly, but goddamn do I want to shout at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mimi is the guest of the hour and they're invited to a party by Anastasia.
Yep.
And she's older now. She's more grown up. She's fully grown, even though she's just a little bit taller than Beatrice.
She's 15 now.
Which apparently is the legal age.
To drink, to smoke, to be an adult. And I love how it's talked about later on with drinking. It's one of my favorite parts of this part of the chapters.
Yes, yes. We also, a little interesting tidbit that I thought was pretty interesting is Subaru would rather deal with Anastasia than Julius, which I think puts into perspective how complicated I think he puts kind of Julius a little bit higher than where he actually probably deserves. Cause when I think of Anastasia, I think she's way worse than Julius, but
yeah, I think it's not the like the logical terror of who's more logically like a bigger obstacle. It's the emotional like kind of baggage Subaru has with Julius because their relationship is so complicated and nuanced. It's difficult for him to put it into words and talk to him.
There's so much sexual tension between those two. They need to make out.
You know, there's some yaoi written out there. Come on,
there's gotta be. So getting into Arc 5, Chapter 2, Pedigree of the well, you know, since it's Arc 5, Chapter 2, you know what that means, right?
What does that mean?
Double likes, double chapters. We get 120 likes on this video, we will cover 10 chapters in the next podcast. That's a crazy deal. You don't got to do anything. All you got to do is hit the like button.
Guarantee.
You'd buy that for a dollar, I guarantee. It's easy. All you got to do is click the thumbs up button. That's it. That's all you got to do. Just click it. Click it right now. I'll wait. I'll sit here. I'll wait.
Click it. Hold yourself. You can't force them at gunpoint to like your video. That's not how this works.
I will come over there.
Oh my fucking god.
And I will make you click that like button. If we do not get 120 likes, Wolf is going to get it.
What? What? No!
R5 chapter 2. So yeah, this is the chapter actually where we learn that Mimi is old enough. The legal age in Ligonica is 15.
Legal.
Yeah.
Fucking terrible, terrible lolicons.
Which this actually leads to a lot of interesting things, learning about the culture of Ligonica.
The world is so fascinating.
Yeah, like, dude, Arc 5 so far has been like, damn, I can do videos just about the world of Ligonica.
Like, this is the part in ReZero where the lore starts to get a lot more in-depth and you start to learn so much more. Like, yeah. Talking about Hoshin and stuff later.
Yeah, the Karoragi is the Watergate City. I mean,
it's a big trap. Yep, it's literally just a city that can just be sealed off, right, to the entire world. And I love how, like, people complain about, like, the Sanctuary setting of Arc 4, right? Like, it's too boring, it's not got big enough scope. And then you just go and see this massive water city. I'm like, oh, damn!
Yep. Yeah, dude, when this gets animated...
Oh, it's gonna be beautiful.
Dude, it's gonna
be amazing.
And
this is a web. I'm pretty sure we're getting a season 3 at this point.
Yeah, of course. Cool. You see all those Echidna figures they're selling?
Bro, they're selling like hotcakes.
Have you seen Mitch blow up? Dude, his channel's massive now.
Yeah, he's the biggest boy.
He's the pinnacle of all of ReZero. Subscribe to Mitch, everybody. Double likes, double chapters, double Mitch.
Double Mitch? How do we get double Mitch? We don't even have one.
Mitch is probably going to be watching this like a year after it's uploaded. So Mitch, you know what to do. You know what to do, Mitch. So we learn some interesting things about with the legal age and stuff. And we learn that people find jobs at around 15, and women who are not married by 15 usually go out of the house and find a job. Pretty early on, a little bit earlier than that even.
Yeah, he talks about how Petra here is like kind of like an exception. She's done this at quite a young age.
Subaru calls her a feisty girl.
And Petra starts blushing and realizes, wait, that isn't a compliment, is it?
I wouldn't call Petra feisty, but I see what he's saying.
Petra's stubborn, I think, is the difference. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Petra's great.
Petra's great.
We also get some more interactions with Biko and Subaru. Biko literally is like, carry me, Subaru. it's just like a child.
Honestly, the build up to this relationship being this wholesome, it was so, so worth it, okay?
Like, I have.
She's calling Subaru by name. She's only a tsundere with other people now. Her and Subaru's relationship is completely unique to them. It's so fucking wholesome.
Yep. She's like, I have like this. I have a niece running around, and she's just like, you walk around and like you even like walk towards her, she's like, hold me up,
I suppose, Subaru.
And that's just what it reminded me of.
It's because it's just a little child. Starts with funniest scenes in these chapters where Mimi wants to climb Subaru after this, and then Petra is jealous and wants to climb Subaru.
He's got the opposite of a good time.
Oh, God.
He's got women wanting to climb him, but not the right kind.
Yeah, just the little girl. This, by the way, this is foreshadowing to something you would not... This is foreshadowing for something, is what I'm going to say.
Oh, God. you're better than Garfield in a sense, because Garfield would have been like, I'm going to tell you right now, and I would have been like... Just
Garfield would be the worst with spoilers, wouldn't he?
One in right ear and out the other. People are like, I get comments to this day on those early podcasts are like, Garfield is just spoiling everything in these podcasts, and I'm like, I didn't know. He's like,
because he would always say it as if there's people theorize that or
and like I just. And the thing is, I could tell he was spoiling it, but it was just one ear right out the other.
That's just charm, okay?
Yeah.
That's what makes Garfield amazing. Garfield.
Double likes, double chapters,
Garfield.
Double Garfield.
Yeah. We'll worship him. We'll worship him for 30 straight minutes. We'll have like a memories of Garfield and why he's the best.
We will sell a double like, double chapters, double t-shirt, t-shirt. If we get double likes, double chapters, double Mitch, what? Double Garfield, what? Double t-shirts. Yo, dog, we heard you like doubles. Ram shows back up, and she's Ram.
She's so disappointed in what she sees, and it's so, like, Ram never changes. Even when she changes, Ram never changes. She's eternal.
Yep, sadistic as ever. Yes. And I love it as well, because there's an interaction between Ram and Subaru, who just gang up on Otto, who is now the internal affairs minister. Oh my Jesus.
They roped him into being the main political force of the entire faction.
This is amazing.
And that everyone bullies him, even a media.
He's like, he gets, and oh my God, the best thing about it is they give him his drink. He has drinking time.
He's an alcoholic because of this.
He's an alcoholic. At one point, Garfield is like, "Oi, just go back to your drink." And he does.
Shut up, Otto. Go back and pour yourself another drink, you little shit.
He talks about, like, Subaru's like, "You lost a bunch of weight, Otto." And he's like, "Yeah.
Skeletal.
And then Mimi's like, Skeletal.
Oh my God. The mispronunciation of, like, words from Earth and Beerco trying to use them in conversation. Oh my God.
Oh my God. So
these chapters are so wholesome, man.
Oh my God. And we get introduced to Joshua Euclius, which is Julius's brother, who's apparently a little bit younger. Yeah.
Yep.
So what do you think about him?
I love how alike he is to Julius in, like, a surface level sense, where he seems to have, like, the same air about him, but he panics when anything goes wrong.
Yep. He Subaru kind of, like, chastises him a couple times in these.
Yeah,
in these,
like, he's generally trying to teach Joshua some lessons here that he's learned.
Yeah, and Amelia has to be like, calm down.
Don't bully little kids.
And Amelia thinks he's so cute. Which is wholesome.
Adorable.
Amelia, by the way, she's a mother. I'm sorry.
The mother of the Amelia camp.
There's going to be more, like, past about her revealed, I guarantee you. And she's going to be like, and like, her past. I'm just saying, she's a mother.
I feel like Subaru's, like, just comparison to an angel is a little too accurate. It's kind of scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. She's a mom.
She is. And she's not preggers again.
I like how Mimi thinks Beerco is Subaru's baby. And
they run along with the joke.
And Otto is the housekeeper. She, like, Mimi legit thinks that Otto is the housekeeper. The internal affairs minister.
Yeah. The affairs minister is the fucking housekeeper.
They have Petra and Ram, and Mimi Otto is like, nah, it's Otto is the housekeeper.
And now I reckon Subaru wants to see Otto in a butler outfit just to fucking start on him.
Oh my God. Fan art. We need it. Cedric! Double likes, double chapters, double Cedric.
Double Cedric. You can never go wrong with double Cedric.
You can never go wrong. Never go wrong.
Cedric, best boy.
I agree. Cedric, best boy. I also like how we then get the wrap-up of the joke from the end of Arc 4 with Amelia thinking she's Pregos.
God, no details are left unturned in this story. I love it. Everything has relevance.
Yes, yes. And Amelia and Subaru... Subaru chastises her about something. Amelia's like, nuh-uh, I've been studying. And then you just have this string of dialogue from, like, I guess, Subaru's perspective that is basically revealed nobody has told Amelia. They're just really overprotective of her.
They want to preserve the innocence as long as they can.
It's adorable. It's amazing.
She knows now that kissing doesn't make babies, but now she's got to figure out what actually does.
Yes. She knows that much. Who told her this?
I hope it's Ram and like she secretly just wants to keep Amelia as clueless as possible.
Just to keep Amelia away from Subaru's pitiful thing.
Yeah, because she really hammers home that she really thinks Subaru is the biggest pervert. Like,
which he isn't.
Which he's like the least. He's the least horny main character I've seen in an isekai in a long time. I'm gonna be real.
Who's the horniest?
Oh, who's the horniest?
Because I immediately go to Elsa.
God, she's horny for like something else though, isn't she?
Yeah, but there's no way she's not, you know.
Oh, she is totally happy in two different ways. Yeah. Elsa Riff!
Double likes, double chapters, double Elsa.
Elsa, big booby titty streamer boobies.
You just kept going with that. It just trailed off.
Well, you can. It's for eternity, right?
But the whole thing of why Mimi is there is because Anastasia invites them to Prestella, which is the Watergate City.
The Watergate City.
Yeah, and the reason that they're going to go is because Joshua reveals that, he knows a little bit of something about Puck and about the spirit Amelia has, so they kind of have to go. And this for the rest of these chapters... Going into Prestella, it's all about basically not getting in the depth of Anastasia because she's capitalism, yeah. Legal lolly.
I love how it switches from Hulse Banner to deep, like, internal civil politics.
Yeah.
About this. Like,
I love politics in anime.
It's great. I love this. And I can't wait for this to be animated, right? Because, like, this political situation is so interesting to me. And when they talk about the candidates later... It makes the scope of the story feel so much larger than it has before.
This is a weird thing to say, but when this gets a season 3 and we're talking about arc 5, the two things I'm excited about is one, the politics, and two, the score. Because in my opinion, when you have more political series or just more political stories, usually the score
is really good.
Is really good. Or at least really fascinating. And
I can imagine some great scores being made for the entrance of Prestella later as well.
Think of like House of Cards.
Oh my god.
The score in that TV series is a quarter of the whole thing, you know?
And now I think about it, because you'll be able to see people's facial expressions in this, if this is animated, it's going to make it feel so much more like intense, like complicated. And you're going to be able to feel like a lot more tension for it.
I mean, already, I feel like there's been a lot of play on people's emotions, like just body language, like Mimi puffing up her chest.
Yeah, and... there is. I love how physically descriptive this is, right? It tells you the character's emotions without having to fucking tell you. It's show. It's a perfect example of show, don't tell. The best kind of storytelling.
Exactly. You see Amelia look at the buildings at the end of chapter 5, and she puts her finger to her cheek and turns her head sideways. You get an immediate visual in your head of what that looks like.
I don't need this anime. I can see it in my head.
Yeah, the anime is inside of us all. Double likes, double chapters, double adaptations.
Double. don't double adapt arc 5 and arc 6 and season 3 White Fox. Please don't. I will cry.
Arc 5, Chapter 3, each gives perspective, which I found the title is funny, because one of the last chapters we covered in Arc 4 was Each Gives Concessions.
Yes. Funny enough, if you pay attention to the titles of this, like, a lot of them make references to each other or are, like, talking about, like, things that are relevant. Like, unlike a lot of chapter titles I find in stories that just say what it is and don't give any like fun with
dude,
it, right?
If we were a part of like the committee to name these chapters, like half of them would with Elsa would be like Big Titty Streamer Elsa Part 1.
Big Titty Streamer Elsa The Simpening. Oh, before we continue, I just have to mention my favorite quote from chapter 2.
Is it double likes, double chapters, double quotes?
Hell yeah! No. It's my second favorite, okay? I'm sorry, but this one just beats it out. My favorite line has to be, I don't beat people who are good at puzzles by challenging them to puzzles. I beat them by challenging them to Mario Kart.
Oh, yes! Yes! I thought that was amazing.
God, Subaru is such a cultured man.
Yeah, he plays Mario Kart, which is funny because Mario Kart is such a cooperative game, but he's such a
loner. Yeah, it makes it feel, I feel like Super was a really competitive asshole gamer. I get that kind of vibe.
He probably plays with his dad and mom.
His mom would be the kind of like one that just crashes all the time.
Yeah, like no, it's just driving into a wall, but she's having the most fun. And Subaru's then, like, Mom, you're not even trying.
What do you mean? I'm winning in spirit.
I don't know how to control of this. This is fun. Yeah,
his dad is the kind of guy who's great at everything. So he just get all the right roles when he picks up items and just destroys Subaru every single time.
Try again, Subaru.
My son, you have not surpassed me yet. I will, father.
Yes, but this chapter, this is kind of like an in-between chapter, but we get our first mentions of people like Anne and Clyde.
Yes. These are characters from that little interval chapter thing I was talking about earlier.
That's what I felt like. Yeah.
They're not the most important characters, but they have a presence, that's for sure.
Okay, so what you're saying is Anne and Clyde need their own fan art.
No, because Clyde is a lolicon.
That makes me not like Clyde.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Anne needs Cedric art.
Yeah, Anne is quite wholesome, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Amelia basically kind of like lays down the law and is like, hey, don't make an ass of me. Don't fight with Julius, please, like he did last time.
And I love how Subaru is both acknowledging that he's not going to do that, but still feels complicated about the situation.
Yeah, he internally, you know, he expresses that he doesn't exactly hate Julius or anything.
But their relationship, he can't really put it into words, right? Like, their relationship is so...
I feel like there's just that thing they had, you know? It's like, Julius humiliated Subaru, and while they put aside a lot of that, there's still those lingering feelings. And they even bring up how it's like the apology would not be sincere, but the apology was sincere. It's just, I think they need more time.
I think, they need to interact more. And this is the perfect opportunity to do it now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going to see Anastasia.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And I love, because there's so many little idiosyncrasies and like little things about the relationship, because it's so many things at once, right? Like, it's brotherhood, rivalry, friendship, but like kind of frenemies. It's so weird.
Yeah, and you know, with all this political intrigue and stuff, Subaru immediately he's just like, with all these candidates, he doesn't trust.
I suspect all of them. He doesn't trust any. And he has the right to do that after how they treated him before, I think.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And I think that's, I think that just adds more to the political intrigue. But
the fact that we've seen two sides of them, like the useful side and the enemy side, right? Like, which means there is nuance to the fact that they could go either way in that direction.
Oh, and an important note, this is where we learn the amount of time that is skipped. About a year.
Yeah. So Subaru is will now be 18.
Yeah. Yep. So he's a legal Shota.
He's a big boy. One really fun part of this chapter was the theories Amelia talks about for the construction of Prestella and how it came about. Not even the inhabitants of this world know why it was completely constructed originally. They have theories about it. And I love the suggestions they have, like it's a trap for like a dangerous mar beast.
Yeah, and they talk when they actually get there, Biko talks about it as like, you know, after hearing all the stories, that's likely what it was. There was a giant witch beast of some kind, and they had to trap it there.
God, the world build. I haven't read this in a long time, right? I forgot how solid the world building is in this arc, right?
Oh, like, this is insane.
This world is becoming so much more colorful and alive every single time we jump into a new chapter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's incredible. I mean, honestly.
It's on a scale I just would... Because, like, ReZero is such a small-scale, emotionally, psychologically-based series, right?
Yeah.
So you don't expect that large-scope fantasy... high fantasy fucking big world building shit, but you get it anyway.
Yeah, and the thing is, we don't see it like already in this arc. I think we haven't got as much, you know, collectively compared to all the past arcs and all those chapters we've gone through.
Yeah.
But this is the most interesting world building I think we've gotten so
this
far in
the
series.
This is the most interesting setting so far.
Yeah.
Arc-wise.
Yeah. I mean, this immediately, this like...
It stands out, right?
It's like an special. Avatar when they go to all those different cities.
Yeah, they feel unique. This feels special, right? This feels unique to this story.
Yeah. Yeah, this isn't just like a random mansion as the background and some forests.
I love
a sanctuary.
I love how Topay kind of plays on this as well, because he compares Priscilla to Venice, Subaru does, quite a few times.
Yes!
But it isn't, but it is.
Yeah.
Right?
I love the comparison to Venice. Venice is like, there's this anime called Aria the Animation.
And I've heard of this one, yeah.
If you're a fan of ReZero and you like this world building stuff, Aria is a series you have to watch. This is on my to watch list already,
okay.
Because it takes place in a place called Neo Venencia, which is on Mars. It takes place hundreds of years, I think maybe even thousands of years, after they've inhabited Mars. And it's modeled off of Venice.
Oh, that is awesome!
And it's just about... It's kind of slice of life-y. It's kind of boring in that sense, if you think those are boring. It's just about gondola girls. That's it.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it's just kind of peaceful and wholesome. But there's a lot of world-building in that series. And it's kind
of crazy. I love world-building, because... There's, you know, connecting to characters is one thing, right? And that's the most important thing. But, like, the world itself is a character in a lot of stories, right? Like,
yeah.
It's something you grow to learn and you grow to appreciate and love and learn about. And making you connect to it more just helps fill it with so much life and energy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. World building is some of the best things you can do in a story, in my opinion.
Yeah, it really fleshes out like what you're looking at.
Makes it fresh too,
because it's not important, right? Like it's not to the level of where if it's not there, it becomes like the biggest problem in the world.
Yeah,
right. Especially for small scale stories, but it fleshes it out and makes it feel so much better.
Yeah, yeah. Makes it, and it just changes things up too when it needs to be.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like we're going into a routine of the same thing over and over again, right? We feel like we're taking on new challenges and new places every single time we step into a different arc. It's great.
We also talk about some of these achievements that they've been able to do with killing Sloth and the White Whale, and how they can't use the hair.
Politics around this,
yes,
as well.
There's politics around this, yeah. They can't use the hare's defeat as an achievement
because
they
no
can't
evidence
prove it.
Of the defeat.
Yeah.
And they will recognize it if the hare isn't seen in 10 decades, or 1 decade. But because this royal selection is 3 years, it's made invalid. And you think, wait, did they do that on purpose to make sure she doesn't get as much credit?
Probably. That's what I immediately thought.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I'm loving the political intrigue of this, bro. It's great.
Yeah, it's really cool. And we also see a little bit of relationship development with Amelia and Subaru, because Amelia be catching looks at Subo.
Yeah, and Subaru doesn't notice.
Yeah, because Subaru. I think he notices some things, some of the obvious things, especially when it comes to other people around him, like Petra
but
and stuff.
It's odd, because he pays attention so much to Amelia that he doesn't, right?
Like, yeah, he's so tunnel-visioned. On a certain aspects about Amelia, he doesn't notice
he doesn't
these other,
the other
things.
Ones.
Yeah,
which makes Amelia so much more of a subtle character than she appeared beforehand, right?
Yeah,
like Amelia has so much more depth now in this story than she did before.
Yeah, she's almost—I wouldn't say completely different, but she's got so much added-on stuff.
Yeah,
to her
character. The same character, right? But she feels 3D, right? Like in a weird way to say, like she feels real.
Yeah, well, don't let Mizu hear this.
Mizu, no.
Number one Amelia simp, apparently. Garfield's place is challenged.
Fight!
Double likes, double chapters,
double
Amelia simp.
Double gladiatorial battle between Mizu and Garfield.
They're gonna exactly. Also, Amelia believes that Subaru has kind of done quite a bit for her and the whole camp.
Amelia be given the kind of like emotional support Subaru needs to feel like he's done something.
Yeah.
But Subaru's unfortunately, like, she doesn't know the context of all his failures.
Yeah.
So it kind of doesn't help him out that much.
If she knew, I have a feeling Amelia would be like just probably would feel terrible.
Yeah, she, because what she's saying here, like, unintentionally, it feels like it's kind of like digging at Subaru. Like, look how perfect you seem in these scenarios, right? It's like, God, how many times did I have to fail to make that possible?
Yeah, you know, that is, and I mean, because, you look like, at it from that context. That's a cool thing about RBD is Amelia sees Subaru as perfect.
Low self-esteem, right? Like, he has these previous issues from Earth, right, that just didn't help.
Yeah.
And he already had mental problems. But it's given him this complex, right, of that he's failed so many times, so is the only way he can win by failing all this time?
Yep.
But because of what he's seen in the second trial, he doesn't know if he's leaving people behind or not.
Mm-hmm. I think
it's so complex.
It is, and I think it makes it more complex because Amelia only sees the perfect.
Everyone only sees the best result, right?
Yeah, people probably think Subaru is this guy to come out of nowhere.
He's a hero. He's a hero, right?
Yeah. Like, he fucking was... He killed Sloth and the White Whale pretty much by his own plan. He even says, like, he doesn't... He feels like he's picking up the scraps. But if you actually look, it's all his plans. Every single one of them.
This is the thing. He can't see the fact that he is the one pointing all of this direction. Like, when you see the ifs, right, you understand how much power Subaru has as an individual. Right?
Yeah.
Like, he is a person who can direct, he's a person that can change things, right? This Subaru does not see that in himself.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's a great video idea.
He feels like a bystander and not a proactive part of this.
Oh, I gotta write down.
We're writing it down right now. Mid podcast note taking, baby. Gotta love it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's a video right there. This white.
That's a video right there, bro. We're just churning out the ReZero video ideas.
This whiteboard is covered with stuff. Let me tell you.
But the psychology of Subaru is one of the most fascinating parts of this story, I find, because it's constantly evolving and changing, but it's still you still understand it no matter what plot you are in it.
Yeah.
It's this great thing of, like, it's a mystery, but you still understand it. It's great. It's unraveling how he thinks, what he thinks about himself.
Mm-hmm. A little bit about Petra. She went to join Roswell for maid training, which Petra doesn't like because Petra still doesn't trust Roswell, but Roswell's like, I'm okay with
and
this.
I think this kind of highlights the thing with Amelia and Subaru, where they're way too forgiving.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're totally willing to just let things go. Whereas Petra will hold a grudge.
Yep. Yeah, Petra is... And I think that's because of the way she was raised.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because they talk about her mother teaching her quite a bit of, like, ethics and love and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, throughout the web novel.
She's a hard worker.
Her worldview is very, like, black and white, right?
She's hard worker, ground zero, blue-collar kind of gal who just... She just kills herself to work and get through tough things. And the job she has now is like one of her dreams. She's already achieved one of her dreams.
It's what she's want. Like, it's really nice, right? Because, like, going back to the theme of family, right? Like, this is, I kind of feel like a theme that permeates this arc with the Amelia camp.
Gotta write this down.
What, for real?
Another video.
Arc 5, theme, family.
Yeah, this is good.
But, yes. Back on the ReZero video making scene.
Right in the middle of a podcast. Double life.
Right in the middle of a fucking
double chapters, podcast. Double ideas.
Double ideas, bro. Big brain shit.
Exactly.
But yeah, this theme of family, this theme of belonging, right? Of being together. It's unique to this camp, and like we said earlier, it contrasts so big with the Green If, right?
Yep.
And it makes you understand how the most optimal path is not the best path, right? Like,
Yeah.
Everyone is so much happier in this scenario.
We learn a lot about Otto, about how he doesn't trust Anastasia or anything, and as well, he still wants to have a shop. Like, that's still his ultimate goal.
He still wants to be a merchant one day. One day he'll get there.
And how he wants to go there as well for his own personal reasons, because he's a merchant, and Hoshin is like this, you know, big
The god
figure.
Of merchants, right?
Like, yeah.
Is what he described as.
Yep.
Because Postello is like, its origins lie in Hoshin, right? Or something along those lines.
And it's very smart as well for Otto to go, because he's a merchant and he's talking to Anastasia, who's
He's the one who has to like rein in all these extreme personalities and politically unable people that are new to this.
Yeah. Also, it's very interesting. Garfield has to chew on stuff because his teeth continue to grow.
Yes. Why is the world building so... We know now that demi-humans with these sharp teeth, like with Frederica as well, this probably applies to Frederica as well, they have to chew down to keep their teeth short and sharp.
Oh my god.
And they talk about how Frederica and Ram have to stop him, like, chewing on the banisters in the mansion.
Yeah.
It gives so much character to these dynamics. It feels so alive.
So Big Fred and Garfield are just chewing on stuff all the time. Apparently, he keeps like a piece of metal with him.
Yep, he keeps a knife, which he chews on later on, in chapter 4, I believe. But this chapter has my favorite like interactions of all of these chapters so far with Subaru, Otto, and Garth. Right?
Yeah.
This picture in my head is brotherhood, right? They're brothers. This is how I picture it.
Yeah, absolutely.
With Garth being the little brother who looks up to Subaru, and Otto being the useless older brother that they need to look after.
I like how Subaru takes advantage of Garfield's youth and is like, if you sleep, you'll grow more. And Subaru's like, well, since you haven't grown much, I guess Big Fred is stealing your growth. And she's like,
has stolen all your growth. And then he screams, sis, fuck! It is so funny. My favorite part is the fact that Otto is a chronic alcoholic, right? Like, he drinks... For the stress, and they try to help him out with it because they think it's stress relief, but then they realize, oh shit, is this making him more stressed?
Yep.
And Otto gets shut the fuck up by Garth. He tells him, go back to your drink and let us talk, or something.
It's so mean.
But it's really nice because the nuance is mentioned here is the fact that even though they kind of roped Otto into this, Otto could leave at any time, right?
Yeah.
If he really wanted to,
right?
Which shows that Otto genuinely, it's not just like this one-sided like toxic bullying relationship, right? Like Otto is playing along with it, but he genuinely cares and he wants to be in this role.
Yeah, he wants some of that Subaru. That's what he wants. He wants a
piece
of Subaru. The
comparisons between Otto and Subaru later on are great to talk about. Actually, when you say that.
Whoa, shit, they do bang? Awesome. And then
I was talking about... Oh, yeah, we're gone.
Okay, yeah. Yep.
they do not fuck, see? Why did it always come back to Yaoi, huh? First it was Julius.
It's gotta happen. It's gotta happen. Double likes, double chapters, double Yaoi.
Hell yeah!
So Subaru goes to see Rim. Our obligatory, let's go talk to Rim for a moment.
There is so much nuance in these, like, two sentences, right? Like, the way I see it is that Subaru is talking to Rem here in a way because he feels like all these happy times he's had with everyone, he wants to give Rem that as well in some way.
Yeah.
But it also plays into this mentality of guilt, right? He feels guilty that he wasn't able to help her or save her.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is his way of making up, almost. Yeah.
Arc 5, Chapter 4, on the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I find double likes, double chapters is the way to go. Double the roads. We don't need roads where we're going.
We're going straight to hell.
We're going straight to double likes, double chapters.
Way to hell.
Oh my god. Two classics right there.
Hell yeah. Two for the price of one. Yep. Double likes.
Double likes.
Two for the price of one.
Yep. Double likes, double chapters. So what do I have? What the hell do I have? This always like happens where I have like a note that just doesn't make any sense.
Do you ever think like, what did I write here and what does it mean? Because that happens to me all the fucking time.
Yeah, I don't even know what this says. Well, okay, so I know what it says now. Half elves are not considered demi-humans.
Demi-humans. That people are so racist to half elves that they consider them different to the people they already oppress.
Yeah, which is it's insane. And as well, most lords are very copacetic to Roswald's demi-human favoritism.
Which is, you know, like the context we know now, right? Like this demi-human war that happened like 40 years ago in this country. There's huge like racial tensions between demi-humans and humans in this country.
It's like America.
Yeah. God, it's like it's actual like modern day commentary.
I like how now Roswell is he's so much more proactive about Amelia, lets Amelia in on things, but still remains some things about the whole thing with Roswell remains questionable about him.
Yeah, like it's like he's an ally, right? But he like it's as it says, he's half as useful as he seems to be, right?
Yeah. We also learn, I guess now this makes sense when you tell me Klein's a lolicon. He favorites Petra, and Big Fred doesn't like Klein. So this all makes sense.
Yeah,
I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, Klein is not wholesome.
We need to throw Klein into the volcano.
F tier!
And now Roswell and Ram kind of understand each other now.
Yeah, it's not like this kind of like one-sided relationship. They kind of understand each other's motives now a bit better. Because like the issue with Arc 4 Roswell was that he's totally misinterpreted what Ram thought of him.
Ram wants that double like, double chapters, double Roswell.
Double D!
Oh. Well, I guess... Moving on.
It's not as pitiful as Barisu's thing, okay?
Yeah. Also, Subaru calls Ram sister, and she doesn't like being called that. Not because she doesn't
have the context of Ram.
Yeah, she doesn't have that. It feels weird. She doesn't exactly dislike being called sister by Subaru. It's just the fact that it feels weird to be called that. So she doesn't know how to react to it. And we see that a lot in a couple times in Arc 4 where Subaru says a couple things. You can see like she stops and she's thinking, like, what is this feeling that I'm getting?
Moving on, I guess we've said all we can have said.
I think the cutest exchange of threats between Mimi and Garf, who are just like veiled threats of like violence against each other.
Meatheads, right? They want to fucking throw down and fight so badly, and it's like, we're gonna settle this when we get to Prestella. But it's not in a tense way. It's really cute and wholesome.
But yeah, it's like...
I love the setup for this as well, because in the previous chapter, it's like, Garf doesn't seem to like Mimi. It's like, oh, what's going to happen? It's just like, nope, they just become best friends.
Subaru criticizes Joshua, but Amelia starts jabbing him again.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, be nice.
Grabs him by the ear, as she always does.
Yeah.
She's a mother. She is a mother.
She's a mom. She's legit. A legit a mom. And while Amelia's doing all this, Subaru then gets lost in thought about how he's going to introduce horse racing. And we get one of the best quotes ever. I had to tell Rising Sun Reviews about this because it was so amazing.
I
said was, Rising, I have to tell you something. No spoilers. Out of context, Subaru from Arc 5, burst of Subaruisms. That's it. It was amazing.
This is Isekai done right in the sense, right, that Subaru feels so foreign to this world, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like, and it genuinely feels that way. Whereas in a lot of Isekai, when the MC comes in, he can understand basic concepts easily, and everyone understands what he's saying.
Yeah, which I think is, you know, further backed up by what else happens in this moment where everybody likes mayonnaise and tartar sauce that Subaru has brought from this other world, but Subaru, he likes it, but it's just missing something. It's not.
Yeah, it's
the
not.
Same.
It's not the original, right? It's a copy.
Yeah, like it doesn't satisfy him, is what he says. But everybody, and, like, the Roswell camp has all the mayonnaise and tartar sauce.
Yep. I God, right? It feels so alive. Like,
yeah, no, it feels like when I read that, I was like, Subaru's going to be fucking rich.
Yeah. And God, Subaru could be such a, like, fucking, like, just the best merchant. Not, he doesn't have the mentality of a merchant,
dude,
but he has.
He's craft.
Fucking, like,
he's craft Lawrence.
Craft. Oh my God! Can we get a Spice and Wolf ripoff with ReZero?
Cedric.
Please? Oh, I love Spice and Wolf.
We need Cedric on here. We need Cedric.
We do. We need Cedric.
Cedric. Get on
double
the podcast.
Likes, double Cedric.
Yes. Double likes. Double chapters. We'll ask Cedric to be on the next podcast, and he'll have to say yes.
Otherwise, we'll praise him to death.
And if he doesn't say yes, he'll just be on one of the future podcasts. So it's another reason to get this video to 120 likes. Just saying.
It's a pipe dream, but it's a dream that's possible, goddammit.
Garfield is also so good at just being a bodyguard that he makes the mob beasts look sympathetic.
Yep.
And as well, him chomping down on, like, his knife makes him look,
yeah,
like, adds to his gap moe, which is something that was introduced in, like, early Arc 4.
Everything has relevance, right? Like, everything is set up. It's brilliant.
Oh, this is so amazing. So, so amazing.
Oh, I do have to mention here as well, I think my favorite part of this, before we talk about more politics and stuff in this chapter, is the scene where Subaru is riding Pat Riche when they're taking the carriage to Prestella.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking to Beatrice and says that you can't insult Pat Riche, because if anyone insults Emilia Rambico or Pat, I fight them. And then Beatrice is like, that's hypocritical because I'm on that list. He's like, no, because I have to punish them more if they do that.
I love it. I just, God.
Have you noticed as well, like, it's established that Beiko doesn't like animals in these chapters. Like, she's not comfortable with Pat. Yeah, and she's not comfortable with the water dragon or anyone.
Well, I noticed she didn't like them, but it didn't occur to me that she didn't like all animals.
It's an interesting, like, little quirk.
Yeah, that's right? Interesting. Huh. You gotta make a video about that, Wolf.
Yeah, in-depth analysis. Beiko doesn't like cute things because she's too cute herself.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Which, speaking of cute things with Beiko, Subaru is going to sentence Beiko to the tickle torture.
Oh my God, but it's so wholesome!
Some of her hair brushed up against his nose, so he sneezed.
And made him sneeze, and then Pat Riche started panicking.
Yes.
God! Like, did you ever expect their relationship to be this wholesome, right? Because I remember when I first read this, like, a while back, and thought, God, this is gold. What? I was not expecting this.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is... Beiko and Subaru are... I love them. They're great.
It is the heart. It has become the heart of ReZero for me, their relationship.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It really is. She's amazing. I love her so.
It's great because she had so little presence in the series beforehand, right? Like, she was more of an idea because you didn't get to see her as much. But now she's so present, she's great.
She is my favorite character in season one.
Oh, she's so... Oh, and I love, right? It's because, like, she's not the archetypal tsundere of she's a tsundere forever, even if she gets close to people. Now she's close to Subaru. She's not really that much of a tsundere.
Yeah. Yeah. She has her tendencies, like, where
tendencies,
her moments,
right?
Where...
Especially with other people.
Where Subaru says, like, I love you, Beiko. And she kind of, like, turns away and she blushes, but she's all right with that. Like, she's not uncomfortable with that. She's like,
she
yeah,
say,
you do.
She doesn't call him Beiko or anything.
Yeah.
She's like,
I hope you do, I suppose,
it's
in
the
fact.
Most
attack
wholesome.
Corgis.
It is the most... The attack corgis! It is the most wholesome family dynamic I've seen in, like, a web novel ever.
Yep. We also learned a lot about the dynamic and of the candidates and how Crucian and Anastasia were pinned in the wind, but things changed when Priscilla
changed
and Felt started racking up achievements. Like Priscilla was like made allies of the lords of Valakia or whatever, and the Volk like made allies of the Vulcan Empire and revived like lands that were just ruined by war.
Yes, yeah, so
and she's also hot.
Yeah,
which is apparently an important note they actually made at the very end of all this. It's like, yeah. And the people also think she's really hot.
Hey, perception is everything, right? Like,
I guess.
And it's great here because they talk about like all the rumors were felt, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
What was it, of royal blood? I think.
Yeah, yeah. How like it's very complicated about her legitimacy. So it's kind of the same thing with Anastasia, actually. How Anastasia is not a real Hoshin.
Takes the name Hoshin.
Yeah, but people think she's kind of earned that name in a sense
because she's like she almost is like the new Lev. She's the modern Hoshin, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. She. They compare her in a way of like the legend has like returned.
I cannot stress this enough, right? This world feels so alive, right?
Yeah, it does.
History, it has culture. It has customs.
It's got like, hot Priscilla.
And it's got the hottest Priscilla that Satsuki is very, very interested in.
Now we've moved on from Elsa to Priscilla. Big booby Priscilla.
Oh, Elsa, your time is over. I'm sorry, Gail, but...
Double likes, double chapters,
double Elsa.
Priscilla.
Oh. Whoops.
Sad face.
sad face.
But
don't
as for
worry,
Felt,
we'll fix it.
See, Felt is actually really interesting because she has very admirable traits, even though she's all for anarchy. She's assembled this office these people together. People
it's a meritocracy,
left.
Right? Like, she gets the most talented people in.
Yeah, she gets...
Doesn't care about where they come from.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who they are, their background, if they're human or not. Commoners on the street, people left, people that were given a chance, people that people just ignored. And now because of what she's able to do, she's been able to move things. She's been able to move people. And people are nobody ignoring her anymore.
Can I just say, all this information about the candidates you're getting right now is foreshadowing.
It's fine.
So keep this in your mind, is all I will say.
Thanks, Garf.
Yes. I am the great, the mighty coffee.
Also, Kruush, interestingly enough, is kind of fallen a little bit in a sense
because she's lost her personality, her memories, and what they talk about the rumors of Kruush here. I'm like, oh my god,
like how she's
so
soft,
hardcore. And now is she soft? Was she hiding her womanly wills all this time? I'm
like,
what?
Yeah, which
god.
Is
kind of,
it's almost it's like savagery how people consider
because
Kruush
perceptions
now.
In politics are everything, right? If they see weakness, they're gonna pounce.
Yeah.
Like,
and the thing is, it's not like terrible at this point. It's just
people
like, are starting
lose,
to talk about this stuff at this point.
But like, it feels like all the candidates are now on a level playing field, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's a
like,
weakness
all
in Kruush's armor right now.
Anastasia is probably the one that's ahead the most.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not a big gap right now.
Yeah, they describe it as Anastasia is simply just marching towards this goal.
Yeah.
Like, unopposed.
I mean, doesn't also even talk about the fact that because she has so much money to play with, like, nobody wants an economic downturn, right?
Right.
Nobody doesn't suffer from
and,
that.
Yeah, she uses money and capitalism to make connections with all the merchants, and nobody... If somebody is, you know, weak...
Emilia
of...
is communism, Anastasia is capitalism. Changed my mind.
Oh, God. Oh, God, we're talking about fucking capitalism.
Man, politics,
ideals.
Bro. Like,
Jesus.
Yeah. This is crazy. Emilia, is that you?
Emiya-kun. Also, Otto finds Emilia's overly caring attitude a little bit dangerous.
Yeah, in politics especially, right?
Yeah.
That's why he wants to come with them.
I see, this is why I think Otto is such an invaluable member at this point, because not only is he on Emilia's camp, but he's a merchant. He's
in got
the
that
thick.
Experience to deal with Anastasia, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. He knows,
which is
about
why
capitalism.
What happens at the end of chapter 5 is funny.
So with Felt dealing with anarchy, we're gonna have Garfield in here, and he's just gonna just be beating the shit out of everybody.
I love the joke they make earlier on where they're like, "Yeah, we're going to Pastella. Subaru and Beerco, they're all right. They can work okay together. But Garfield has to babysit Otto to make sure he doesn't get killed or anything."
yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
But
somebody,
I think the most important part of this chapter, apart from the politics and the foreshadowing, is the comparisons Amelia makes between Subaru and Otto and how complicated Otto feels about that.
Yeah, no. I was actually about to bring that up because Otto doesn't want to be like Subaru.
But he is.
But he's like really rubbing off on Otto.
Yeah, like, I can feel the brotherhood between Garth, Otto, and Subaru, right? Like, it genuinely feels like this brotherly relationship between them all.
Yep.
And
little sis Biko.
Yes.
Who doesn't quite understand, doesn't really care.
Doesn't quite understand the bromance that's going on right now.
But she's there.
She's learning all the Subaruisms, I suppose.
Yeah. In fact,
attack corgis.
Also, we learned that apparently Subaru's diet consists of Amelia's smiles.
Yes. Subaru gets jealous that Otto is having a prolonged conversation with Amelia, so he makes him swap driving the carriage.
Yeah. Oh, it was amazing. And like, because like, I will flip this over. In fact, suppose
she's panicking. Like, Biko, take the reins.
Yep. And we will get double Biko if we get double likes, double chapters.
Double likes because we get double chapters.
So make sure to like this video if you haven't already. Get this to 100.
Are you tired
likes.
Of talking yet? Because we're not.
I'm never gonna get tired of saying it.
You're never gonna get tired.
You're just gonna have to get used to it. You're
gonna
have to
accept it all the time.
Now, I'm gonna get a comment that's gonna say, "Yeah, I think it's kind of annoying that you keep saying double likes, double chapters." And I'm like, "Well, you just have to get over it.
You're just gonna have to get used to it, man.
Gonna have to get used to it. Double likes, double chapters. Embrace it. That's what I say.
double edgy comments. You know? Like...
Yeah, exactly. Double likes, double chapters, double complainers." Arc
but
5.
I don't hear the haters, man. I'm all here.
Arc 5, Chapter 5, The Watergate City, Prestella. They finally arrived. And to a resounding meh. Because they were like, well, hearing
looks
about
like a
this.
Prison from the outside, right? Like,
yeah,
the
it looks depressing. That's what they say. They found the bridge of. They found that the bridge of Tigrissy was depressing.
They're like, this is not what we were expecting. This is supposed to be a tourist destination, right? Like, but a nice little bit of well-building tidbit here. Oceans do not exist in this world.
Mm. Yeah, that's... I didn't...
Because when Subaru's talking about the water, he's like, it looks like an ocean, but I know oceans don't exist in this world. Which means there's probably like a... From what I remember, ReZero's world is a single continent flat world.
Yeah, it's apparently flat Earth.
Which is like, yo, the flat Earthers, man, they be...
Yeah.
they found their paradise.
Tepei Nagatsuki, he figured it out!
It wasn't Earth that was flat, it was ReZero's world all along. Our sun is here.
Oh my god. If you guys get those references, please put it in the comments.
You OG.
Yeah. But they kind of figured out that the theories about Prestella being a trap for this giant witch beast, it pretty much true. Biko's like immediately like, yeah, this is true.
They come to the conclusion. I love, right, how all these theories are posited, and then when they actually see it, I think, yeah, that one's more likely now, right? Like, God, it's so good.
Yep. That's...
I think my favorite part of this chapter... apart from the water dragon thing later on, is Garth is sitting on top of the carriage, like, balancing and doing stupid shit the entire journey. And with all the stuff that we see with Garth throughout these chapters, doesn't it feel like he's getting the childhood he never really got to have?
Yeah, no, right? He feels...
Because he was playing, like, the role of protector and, like, the big head honcho of Sanctuary for so long. And he never really got to be the kid that he was supposed to be.
Right. Yeah, he's enjoying
and it feels
his freedom.
Like the immediate camp is giving that option to him now, that he can experience that now.
Yeah, he's enjoying his freedom and his...
He doesn't have to be the most responsible adult in the room because he's not an adult. And he doesn't need to fill that role anymore, to do that for him.
He's a Chunibyo.
Yeah, I mean, he does look up to Subaru to like an unbelievable, like, extreme.
He's the captain.
He's the captain. Captain! Captain!
Once again, a nice little scene of Biko getting head pats from Subaru, just because.
Oh, because give me more that more wholesome energy. Yep. Just give me more, please. Yep. Any scene with this just makes me happy.
I also like how everyone has to fill in paperwork to enter Prestella, and Amelia, the way she sees it, is like, well, that's not really what the paperwork's about. It's just about, like, your self-conscious. And Subaru is like, she's, like, super strict on herself.
Yeah. She takes the positive outlook with everything. Yeah. Right? Like,
she's wholesome. She's a mom.
She's a mom.
Mom Amelia. Amelia mom.
She's not Amelia.
Amamia.
Amamia.
Oh, my God. Somebody needs to make the Momoko pout, but with Amelia.
I think they have. I think that's already a thing.
I wouldn't doubt it. Everybody putting those pouts. They need to make a Subaru everyone. Momoko pout. To be honest, it's one of the best pouts.
It is. It is probably the best thing that came out of that. Yeah, right.
Besides, like, Momoko herself.
And just ignoring the incest, and we're all good.
Yeah, well, yeah, ignoring, but yeah, and Momoko and Momoko's pout.
Yeah, man.
Kind of cool.
I do love as well how when Garth is trying to write out his stuff, his writing is so terrible that people think he's illiterate.
Yeah.
And that the only person that can read it is Luz.
I love it. I love, by the way, they talk about what they do with the lollies.
And make them messengers, right?
Yeah, they, like, just teach them stuff and make them the middlemen.
And I love how it's mentioned here that Subaru feels guilt about throwing them away in that one loop. And so he felt like he had to give their lives purpose as, like, repayment for
Which
it.
Which is extremely wholesome.
There's no loose ends in this story, right?
There's, like, none. It's incredible.
Do you think Tepe just has, like, a just notes chapter of, like, yes, I set this up, and now I must pay this off?
I mean, probably. It wouldn't surprise me. And that's
because everything is on point here, right? Like, I feel like no detail is not worth paying attention to. Like, my time is not being wasted when I'm reading this.
Somebody needs to make ReZero if it was made by Akira Toriyama.
Oh.
Akid Nut! Nani?
Michu!
Oh, let's see. Oh, yeah. So all this Hoshing stuff happened 400 years ago. Something about 400 years ago an important time for this world.
It seems to be like the transition period of this world, right? Into what it becomes now versus what it was before, right?
Yeah. It's like before, the way they describe it 400 years ago is like a primordial,
like a really mystical place, yeah. Right? Like, now it feels like just a general medieval world with fantasy elements, right? But before, with all the witches and, like, the mentions of the dragon and all that stuff, it feels so much more mystical and, like, big level fantasy stuff.
Yeah, and bleak.
And bleak, yeah. Like a world that is full of suffering.
This is also, we learn where Anastasia isn't a true Hoshin. She's just taken a name. Also, they talk about how, like, boats don't have the blessings themselves, but it's, like, the people who operate them do. And
yeah, like, they talk about divine blessings, right? And they also talk about earth dragons and water dragons, and how do earth dragons protections of the wind when they drive carriages, like, really fast? Do those work for boats with water dragons as well? Like,
yeah, well, and water dragons have those blessings that protect them from water.
But
like ground dragons.
Water dragons are harder to tame than
earth dragons. Yeah, you have to raise them from birth to adult. So that you have to be with them the whole way. And then once they become an adult, they're like, all right, you're cool. And
it acts like such an asshole to the immediate camp when we see when they are wrong.
Well, I guess we'll get there. Subaru actually compares it to Shenlong, which is one of the mystical dragons from Chinese lore.
Yes, because this world, interestingly, has a lot of, like, combinations of, like, Western and Eastern, like, mythological ideas, right? Like,
which is also funny because Shenlong is also, they used the design or the history around Shenlong for Shenlong in Dragon Ball Z.
It's all connected. I knew Subaru was supposed to go Ultra Instinct. EMT!
EMT!
And then his pitiful thing becomes not so pitiful.
Big adequate pee-pee.
Big adequate pee-pee.
Also, Amelia starts humming to herself, and Subaru takes note that she is hideously tone-deaf!
This is my favorite detail with Amelia, right? Especially since the second ending song for the first season of the show is sung by Amelia's voice actress in character, right?
Yeah.
The fact that Amelia is tone-deaf and can't sing.
Somebody needs to make a video covering Stay Alive if it were actually covered by Amelia.
It legit, if for real.
I could do it. It'd be amazing. Be it absolutely amazing. It'd be like, stay alive.
Alive.
But to her, it's perfect, you know? It's like, she doesn't care. She doesn't know.
Yeah, she's too wholesome, right?
She's a kid.
She's off in her own world, having fun. And Subaru, I just feel like Subaru doesn't want to ruin it and point it out.
Subaru's just smiling on.
Nothing to see here. Doo-doo-doo.
The only thing I don't like about you, Amelia.
But even then, that makes me love you.
One day, they're going to get her singing lessons, and it's just... the charm's not going to be there, and Subaru's going to be like, I don't love you anymore.
One day, they're going to find out that kissing is not what makes babies.
It's singing. It's the singing what makes babies. It's like Viva
it's
Pinata.
The singing.
It's like Viva Pinata when they do a little dance.
Is that how orgies happen? Everyone sings at once.
They sing at once and do a little dance. And that's how they make
awesome.
Babies. It's also harder to domesticate ground dragons, though.
Yes. And they mention Patrice as an example of a ground dragon that shouldn't normally be tamed as easily, but for some reason, when Subaru met eyes with her, it was love at first sight. Like,
do you think that's because ground dragons and water dragons and these dragons in general have a lot more intelligence?
Doesn't Otto, especially I remember in like the most recent episode of the anime, he talks about how ground dragons feel like emotions on the level of people.
Yeah.
And how he can have coherent conversations with her, right? Like, and it feels to me that these dragons, right? Like, there's the dragon of Lagunica. It feels like, are they descended from this dragon? Because it feels like these dragons are important, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, definitely. It's very cool. So they arrive in the city. It's the
hell yeah
of Prestella, and Amelia immediately is like, "These buildings look funny."
It makes Garfield like go full emotional teenager moment. Like,
oh god damn it! These buildings look so beautiful and big.
They're making me cry.
The architecture is so great. I'm gonna listen to some My Chemical Romance. Crawling in my skin. These wounds, they will not heal.
Someone just make a channel where it's in character as Garfiel doing covers of songs that he shouldn't be doing covers of?
Yes. Needs to happen. Mitch!
I stay!
I kind of sound like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
What? What'd you say? You some bitch.
Garth would be a great wrestler.
Dude, he would. He'd kill the competition, literally.
Literally.
But at the end, Anastasia shows up. And the one thing I find really compelling about Anastasia showing up here at the end and what she says is she says, double likes, double chapters, double Anastasia.
No, she does not say that.
That's what she
said. What?
Okay, which version did you read?
Not the Sea Tactics. Like,
well,
you're
duh. That's the reason you got the wrong version.
Whoops! I'm so sorry, man. Send me the link next time, okay?
Okay, I'll send you the Sea Tactics version next time.
Yeah.
Which has the Garfield covering the Garfield? Yeah, no, that's his band name, the Garfield.
The big hulk, right? Like.
Oh man, yeah. So Anastasia shows up at the end. It's the first time we've seen Anastasia.
And Otto directly says, "You know, just avoid her until I come back." Anastasia appears.
Yeah, she finds them.
Is she a bloodhound of capitalism or something? I feel like... Yeah.
She's like, money?
Money.
I smell it.
I smell gold.
Is that money I smell, or is that just Subaru
Amelia?
She's like
bathing gold coins every day or something.
Oh, probably. Something crazy like that.
Oh, yeah. Yes. One last thing to mention here is that Prestella has four districts separated by waterways.
Yep, yeah. Four districts, yeah. And apparently the streets are not as important as the canals.
The canals, because that's how people mainly transport themselves.
Yep, it's like Venice. Yep, exactly like Venice. Venice.
But it's a trap. It's a trap.
It's a trap.
So yeah, these five chapters were amazing.
It was so good.
So good.
What a great introduction to an arc.
Yeah, yeah. So like we said, if this gets 120 likes, next podcast we'll do 10 chapters and we'll get Gear on. Gear hasn't agreed to do this, but I will.
Whether
make
in
him.
Spirit or in physical presence, he will be there.
He will be here. One of these podcasts in arc 5. If you get this to 120 likes, I promise I will make him do it. He's probably gonna watch this and he's probably gonna comment like, "I'll do it." Like you should have just asked me. I would have been in this podcast or something.
But... And then we can make a laughing stock out of Sea Tactics.
Oh,
it's okay.
Oh, it's not okay. You're gonna make fun of me. Double likes, double chapters. Everyone, give this video a like if you haven't already. Thanks for watching. Wolf, where can they find you?
I have a YouTube channel that I'm still working on. I'm still working on it. Okay.
Yep. It's gonna come out.
In the next 2 years, yes.
Links will be in the description as well. If you're going to donate to me through YouTube for some large amount of donations, I have a PayPal. Do that instead, because YouTube takes like 30%. So if you're ever thinking about donate to this channel through Google, through YouTube, don't do it. Don't do a large amount. Do it through PayPal.
Yeah, it will take like a 30% cut.
Yeah, you will get ripped off, as Wolf and Hollow have learned firsthand. So I don't want that to happen to you, because I can't stop you either way. But I don't want you to get ripped off. So thanks everybody for watching. If you haven't already, be sure to give this video a like. Subscribe, ring the bell, comment down below what you think about these first five chapters, and make sure you get this to 120 likes so we can do 10 chapters next podcast and get Cedric on. Thanks everybody for watching.
Like a slave.
Oh, crap. Thanks for watching, everybody. See you next week. Bye-bye.